tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Nobody knows where they might end up. Nobody knows.
Star 8 here. She's at her bachelor party doing our thing for the Grey's Anatomy finale. Julie can't rap, so I'm doing it. I'm gonna be too.
Who says I can't rap? What? I have a rap brother.
You're from Oklahoma. Oh, yes, right, Julie. Julie does have a brother who is a rapper. Go
professionally
figure. He is a professional rapper, Josh, ladies and gentlemen. Look him up on Twitter. He is verified.
As is Jason.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome to the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Jason J. Carter here. Hi, Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie Parton, and pretty thrilled with this happy episode.
Absolutely. Star is at her bachelorette party. She's getting married.
She's all the way in Florida. Yeah. Only that girl. Right. That girl does everything.
She's like international. Every week, Star, we go, I'm going to the moon. I'll be back next week. I mean, me and my honey are going to be. Anyway, so that's why she's not with us tonight, but she is here in spirit. After Buzzers, season 11, Grey's Anatomy comes to a close, and tonight I was not disappointed. And normally I am the guy who wants to see blood, gore, death, decapitation, mutilation, but tonight we didn't get that. Tonight we got a more authentic, we got a very just insightful finale.
That's a perfect word for it.
Insightful,
authentic.
Yes.
And I really feel like us Grey's fans who have been here for 11 years, who have just stuck around for the craziness that is this season, have been through the ringer.
And it's so funny, Julie, because off camera, I mean, me and Julie were having a conversation about life and letting go and being happy. And I feel like tonight's show was really about that as well, too. It's very cathartic.
That's another great word for it. I can't even believe there weren't major cliffhangers or major deaths, not even any deaths. But the fact was, it was really, really happy. And it was really, I feel like Shonda and the creators and the writers of this show telling us, the fans, that yes, we're going to be okay.
And also, I mean, you said there was no deaths, but I think that maybe we're talking about, it's so funny, Julie, so me and Julie are really good friends, and we have like these really in-depth conversations about life and career and all that all the time. It's wonderful. And, you know, we're talking about evolving. And I feel like the writers of Grey's have evolved. They realized that, you know, from season one through probably season seven, we always got like this really intense finale. Someone died, or there was some kind of peril, some kind of, you know, I don't know, something was hanging in the balance. And tonight it was about compromise and life and knowing that you will be okay, and learning to let go of things that aren't good for you, and just accepting things for how they are. And when I say that the writers of Grey's have evolved, because they realize that life isn't always going to be, or life doesn't always have to be this dramatic episode, you know?
Right.
So tonight was fantastic. I thought on a scale of 1 to 10, it was definitely a 10. And it was good to see just, I don't know, like happiness.
I don't know.
And relief.
I don't know what I wanted and I don't know what I expected, because every minute of the season, I've just kind of been like, no, absolutely not. We went through this whole thing with Dr. Gina Davis, and that seemed like it took forever.
Forever.
And then we went through this whole thing of them leading up to Derek dying, and I was literally saying in tears, no, this cannot happen. This show cannot go on. They should have just ended it. But tonight, I just felt like they gave me a giant hug.
Right. And Derek leaving the show, last week we thought it was very weird. And again, hey, After Buzzers, I'm not sick this week. Yay. I'm back. Last week we thought, you know, we're thinking like, God, Derek's gone. But it's really, Shonda even said that, you know, the journey for Meredith now is going to be interesting, seeing her without Derek. And also the theme for an arc in the season was she was better without him. I feel, honestly, and After Buzzers, I'm sorry, I know this is a finale, you're going to hate me all summer, but I'm glad Derek's gone.
Well, no, I'm not ready to say that yet.
I've accepted it.
Dramatic. No.
Yeah, of course it was dramatic because he was a pillar. I mean, there was no Grey's Anatomy without Derek Shepherd. But now that it's settled, we see Meredith, you know, thriving and really, she's become like this matriarch for everyone that, you know, and we'll get to the final scene with Amelia and Maggie and later on in the podcast, but I don't know. I feel like him leaving was just, you know how they say the universe can't allow something to come into your life until you make space for it. I feel like Derek leaving was making space for something else wonderful to come into Meredith's life.
I'm not with you. I'm not glad that he's gone. I'm really not. Yeah. I think the show should have gone on with him. I think that at the very least they shouldn't have killed him off, you know, because then they could have brought him back later. But for the first time since two episodes ago, mm-hmm. I can picture the show going on.
Well, good.
And I really couldn't.
You're like, you're accepting it, Jules. It's good.
Even last week when it was just 2 hours of nonsense.
Yeah.
It was 2 hours before that, right? And then last week was just a normal good episode.
No, last week was a 2 hour episode.
No.
You're right.
Yeah. So it was Derek died, ridiculous 2 hours, great episode last week, and now this week, I think I've finally come to terms and realized how this show can go on. And I think it's because, like you said, Meredith is a new person entirely. Right. She has turned into not only an authority figure in the hospital, but a mother figure.
Right. Again, a matriarch. She is the new HBIC. Google it.
HBIC, HBIC.
Head biatch in charge.
Okay.
That's not misogynistic. And I'm not, I am a self-proclaimed feminist, so I can say that. So tonight's episode, though, it was very fluid. It was very easy to watch, easy mm-hmm. to digest. I love the music. One thing I will say about the music on the show is I do not like when they do a cover, The Fray. Huge Fray fan. The Fray, I mean, Grey's put The Fray on the map.
Absolutely.
How to Save a Life, Over My Head Cable Car, Look After You. All these songs are classic, amazing Fray songs. And then when Grey's covers them, you can't buy them because they're covered just for the show. It's like, how dare you? However, tonight's music was really, really good. And it was just a really fluid show. Like, there's nothing from the first scene where we see April, who we have to give an honorable mention to her hair. Her hair looks on fleek. Loving it.
And I got some insider information.
Insider information, go ahead.
Her and Joe got their hair cut by the same hairdresser.
What?
Yes. They chopped their hair off by the same woman. She has this little Instagram account, and I'm like scrolling through, like, she's responsible for all these long bobs.
Lobs, yeah.
She's the lob lady.
Lob lady.
How can I get in to see that lady?
Lob lady. Listen, I know a couple of good lob ladies. I can hook you up.
I got an appointment tomorrow. It's okay.
I can also give you a really nice lace front wig if you want that too. I know a lot of drag queens who could hook you up as well.
I haven't wanted one of those till this moment, but I'll take it.
Okay, cool.
But you're right. So the episode started with April in her element, and we have never seen April more amazing,
more
superwoman.
Right. Even she looks a little haggard.
Yes.
Like she has bags under her eyes, and she looks very like, I don't know, like Fast and the Furious. Like she's been in the streets a minute. She's from like Compton.
Yes.
You know, like just not as put together, very rugged, and just so like, there's an air of masculinity about her, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to put it. I think it's just maybe not necessarily an air of masculinity, but an air of intensity. And
sure.
She's got an Owen-ness about her.
Right.
Like, she's hungry for adventure. She's hungry for the gore. She's hungry for the moment when she can just have her adrenaline surge and save somebody's
Again,
life.
Evolution. She has evolved from the April who was on the terrace talking about trying not to be shot. And talking about her family, she likes pigs, all these things.
She was still awesome then, though.
Of
all the people to survive that shooting, she's the one that stands out because she had her wits about her. She did the exact same thing that she saw what was in on Oprah
mm-hmm.
to tell the teacher about that. She's always been good in crisis, good in last-minute mode.
Yeah.
But so she brings the guy, Keith, and what I thought was fascinating about this episode is that there was really only two patient stories, and they were carried over from last episode, from part one of the finale. Keith, who was completely impaled with the car, and she brought the car there, and his fiance, Joan, who delivered this healthy baby boy, who was apparently 2 weeks old by the time this aired. It was so funny. Somebody on our Twitter set was talking with me about how the Grey's babies have just been really big, like insanely big, not newborns at all. And Grey's is the worst offender of that show. They need to get somebody on that set who's like, nope, not a newborn.
Right.
Bring me a smaller baby.
Absolutely. Well, let's do a sidebar real quick. And let's do shout outs to everyone who has been so wonderful and amazing. Speaking of Twitter, we have to say what's up to Andrea Edwards, used to be at Wicked Rose. So many. Gosh.
Savannah, yeah, Key Wind, A Drop of Magic,
Caitlin K. Wind,
Deborah Battle, Assy, yes, Queen, Gia Lee, 24,
mm-hmm, for sure.
Gray's Pop Sugar,
yes,
who's new to the family.
Kai F. Karen,
Kyle White, who's been here forever. Dynamite Jack, who's been here forever and, yes, is amazing.
Yes, Sandra Bumbar, Tanja Bumbar, Gia Lee, 24, you said.
Brittany Lex.
Yes, I mean, just so many.
CD Olaria. And here's the thing, guys. Here's the best part about the show.
Wait. Oh, Stephanie Persephone.
Gotta say something to her. Keep going. Okay, yeah, and our Star Session. We love you, girl.
Yeah.
Alicia Harding, Swan Soldier.
Brittany Allen. Brittany Allen X. Did you say her already?
Sophia. Okay. Kiana Dawn.
Spartacus 15. Go ahead.
The Grey's family just lives on because we've all been watching the show for 11 years, so we feel like best friends.
Right.
Because we at least have 11 years of history together. And even during the summers, during the hiatus, which feels like forever, we could go back and watch the different seasons. What are there, 1,000 episodes to choose absolutely from?
But I will say that this summer I'm going to rewatch season 11 because I feel when we're dissecting the show, we're trying to give you guys, you After Buzzers and everyone listening to the podcast, are the most in-depth review and analysis of the show that we may miss out on some nuances that we didn't get to see. And I'm one of those people that I watch things 3 and 4 times to make sure I'm watching what I'm watching. I know this is ADD problem I have. I don't know what's wrong with me. But I do find when I go back and rewatch, it's even more magical.
Well, I'm still not over the Derek thing, so I'm not ready to watch season 11 yet.
Well,
I don't know when I'm going to be, but anyway. So back in the hospital, Chief Wedding, it seems like at this point in time, it's called off. All they can do is yell at each other.
Argue.
They're completely at odds. She wants somebody else to be the chief. He's promised it to Bailey. They're still at odds because he wanted to take that risky route with a patient and she didn't. They're yelling constantly, yeah, in front of everyone.
And really, Catherine and the chief are my least favorite story. I feel like they're just part of the, yeah, let's just throw that in there. But
I love them.
I'm not a Debbie Allen fan, so.
I don't
on the
why.
Show, on the show, on okay. the show. I mean, I think she's fantastic. Her legacy is amazing. But on the show, I just feel like, eh. But I was really invested in Jolex, you know, tonight.
Yeah.
Because Alex is definitely, I feel like he's the one main character on the show, of the OG cast that really doesn't get a lot of press, doesn't get a lot of, you know, shine, limelight. He rarely is in a crisis except for the time he got shot. So with Joe and him, I was like, okay, cool. Finally, they're giving him a love interest that's actually cool, legitimate, cute girl for whatever that's worth. And tonight, you know, everyone's moving back into the house.
Yeah, so Meredith wants to move in with her,
yeah,
three kids and her sister-in-law now. And he talks to Joe, and she responds like any reasonable woman. Like, really? I thought you wanted to build roots here. You want an entire family. I can't say no to the widow and her kids tapping
not
on the
window. So funny.
She nailed that part.
And then she flips her hair. She flips her lob. And walks away. And Joe, and Alex always has that, Neanderthal man. So, but we see that, you know, in the end. And
here's the thing. A lot of people on Gray's sites, on our YouTube channel, on Twitter, have been suggesting that maybe Meredith and Karev are going to get together.
I don't think so.
They were saying that maybe there's a little bit of foreshadowing with him being like, well, Meredith's finally back, and they're the two original people. And I thought it's possible. I don't like it. I didn't like it. But it's possible. Anything's possible if Derek died.
If season 12, right. If season 12 is the swan song for Grey's, that would be epic for them to end the season with Alex and Meredith being a love
interest. They're a terrible couple, though.
Opposites attract.
No, they're not opposites, though. They're both dark and twisty.
Yeah.
He's just mean and pessimistic all the time. And I think we proved that Derek was good for Meredith because he was somebody who's like, it's a beautiful day to save lives, you know?
Yeah.
She needs somebody not like that. She doesn't need, like, you know, not to go all Hunger Games on you, but you don't need to meet anger with anger. You need to meet anger with optimism and kindness, and then it's a better match.
Preach, Julie. Preach. Hallelujah. Yes, Joel Osteen. Give it to us. Give the good word, girl. Well, yes. I mean, no, you have a point there. I agree with that. Very, very, very well thought out point, Julie. I could definitely understand that for sure. And Maggie, we thought Steamy DeLuca was going to be... No, that was for Edward. Stephanie, sorry. Yeah. But we thought that Maggie was going to get a love interest with Evan.
Where did he go?
Who knows?
They had a bad date. Then they're hinting around it, and then they're like, "No, Maggie doesn't get love.
No, no, she's not ready for love. But she's been crying these last two episodes.
She is ready for love.
Maybe she's not ready for love. Look, Jules, we're talking about the universe delivering things to you when you're ready. Maybe she's not ready.
Maybe she's not ready for love because she's just too wrapped up in youthful things, like she was saying. So last episode, she's just crying, and I knew right then. I feel like most people knew right then.
You called it.
That her parents were getting a divorce and that was going to rock her world because she's a sheltered family girl. And sure enough, this episode, we open with her talking to her dad. I don't want to hear your side, her side, his side, you know, right in the middle. Oh, and Meredith at the beginning of the episode was like talking about how she was growing up in a broken home.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's where this was headed. And it's really, really heartbreaking for Maggie, as it is anyone at any age to find out that their parents are splitting up.
My parents have been divorced since I was 2. So I've always known, but I mean even with that said though, and not to make it about me after Buzzers, but you know, just tying in with the show, that it is still hard to grow up in a family with divorced parents, even if you're very young, because my whole life it's always been two sides, and you never ever really get the truth about what happened. You have a really, my mother's very overprotective, so you know, and her and my father were at odds. I rarely saw my dad, and then now that I'm older, I feel like I missed out on a lot because of that situation. So it does suck regardless of anyway. But Maggie, I don't know. I feel like Maggie had more of a story in the finale of season 10 with Ellis and we finding out. That was probably one of the best moments for her. Because there hasn't been very many moments for Maggie this season.
That was the worst moment for her.
Why do you think?
Don't you remember how much we made fun of it? She was like, my mom used to work here. But maybe you've heard of her.
But Julie, the point I'm making is we made fun of her because she was dorky. But meaning
and that, she didn't know how to Google.
That revelation, though, that scene for her character, was fantastic. And when I go back to saying not many moments with Maggie, because in the premiere of this, you know, they had the whole Ellis, you know, the whole Ellis legacy thing. That was cool, but Maggie's been kind of just like, okay, whatever. Like, she's there, it's cool, you know. There's no meat on the bone with Maggie.
I sort of relate to Maggie in that way. Remember how I used to relate to Kepner? And like, some of us grow up in just really fantastic Mayberry homes.
In Oklahoma.
And we end up marrying someone, we have a Mayberry family, and there's just like, not that many
really
dark
sexy
and twisty.
And...
Yeah, and my baby's perfect. Like, not everybody's dark and twisty, you know?
Right.
There has to be the Maggies and the three seasons
and the
Jasons ago, Aprils
of the world.
I'm not saying Jason's the screwed up one. I'm just saying that, like, every once in a while, there's those of us boring happy girls, and we're like, we want to be in on the action, too.
Uh-oh.
Just because we're not getting in plane crashes and shot doesn't mean we don't want stories, you know?
Right, right. Well, Maggie, sidebar Maggie, yeah, she's crying about her parents being divorced, and we find out that, you know, and you called it. You called it, Julie Parton. You called
every
it.
Every one of my things from last week
was on
has
point.
Come through.
I know, you're freaking psychic.
I was on it this week.
Miss Cleo.
You know what, though? I swore up and down that they wouldn't kill Derek, so I guess we'll call it even.
Well, Derek dug his own hole, apparently, according to Radar Online. He was a real handful. Hope he's not bankrupt in 3 years. So... back to the show. So
yeah, let's just go all the way to the end with this. No, let's not. Let's save that for the end. But back to April, because she gets this moment with a patient. And so here's what's so crazy about this. This guy, there is hundreds of people around him, the patient Keith, and they need to get him in 5 minutes from the car separating his body into the hospital to an operating room.
Yeah.
And who do they ask to help?
The freaking intern.
Why are they helping with anything?
Well, I know. And people
why
online
is that one guy not completely fired
and
from
like,
last
and
week?
And banned from any hospital on planet Earth. And on the blogs and also on Twitter today, a lot of people were tweeting like, the effing interns. Like, they're so stupid. Why are they here? Oh, the interns ruin everything. And they're a necessary evil.
They're awful. They haven't always been this bad. I don't remember Joe and Stephanie being this bad, and I definitely don't remember Meredith and Christina being this bad.
Meredith stuck her hand in a body cavity with a bomb.
That was amazing. This girl had one job, and that was to keep the elevator doors open.
But in her defense, she still worked it out. And that's, and resilience is good.
She doesn't get a defense because she left the elevator.
It's okay, Julie. Stop dwelling on the past.
Oh, those interns.
Let it go.
I'm still mad about him taking the collar off. I did think it was funny how they totally blamed Stephanie for that.
Right.
And Stephanie deserved that, too.
But Stephanie also saved her life. So, again, yeah. Full circle. They screw up. They make it. It's just like life. You screw up and you figure it out. You don't screw up again, right?
It's the circle of grace.
Hakuna
it's like
Matata.
Bailey teaches. Christina teaches.
Edwards teaches.
Stephanie teaches.
Who is...
And now the intern.
Very impressive. I'm liking Stephanie in this role. And, you know, when we met Jerrica Hinton on the show in season 11, the beginning of season 11 when she came on the show. No, it was actually season 10. You know, she was just, you know, a couple of episodes, wasn't really, like, sure.
Right, she was brand new.
Wasn't sure if she was going to get picked up for a series regular. And now her character has just become the new Christina, in a way. Christina Mini-ish, in a way.
And here's what I could say about Jerrica Hinton. If you follow her on any of the social medias, she has a strong personality.
Yeah. Well, she's a Libra. Hello.
She's just like, all of them are. But that's what's so amazing about her, is that she's like fierce, mm-hmm. feminist. Mm-hmm. She's just very into all different types of controversial subjects and hilarious. And so I'm not surprised that they're kind of taking her and making her the new main teacher.
Let me ask you a question, Jules, with that said. Do you think having a strong opinion and it is good in any facet of life, period?
Yeah, absolutely. I think having a strong opinion is good. I don't think it's necessary to be belligerent and to try to pick arguments constantly, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's more important to have good communication skills with your strong opinions.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But no, I really feel like fortune favors the bold, and Jerrica Hinton doesn't back down, and she's definitely being rewarded, and she's killing it this season.
Yeah.
She's not getting any love, unfortunately, but...
I mean, you can't have it all, but her character is getting... Good stories, great screen time, and a purpose on the show. I think her and Joe are the only ones that have left out of those interns.
They are, but the thing is, they're not giving Joe really anything to do. She has interns too. They're just not showing them.
Well, but the ebb and flow of the show. You know, like there's certain episodes that'll be that person heavy, and other shows that'll be that person heavy. You feel me? But we do see that Joe and Alex. I mean, we might as well get to the point. Joe. Finally, you know, they have a moment where she tells Alex, I need to figure out what I want. You know, Alex says, I want this, I want that. Meredith's my person. You know, these are my people as well. And she's like, well, that's great, but I need to figure out what I want. Again, flips her hair, smirks, and bounces.
Right. And the thing about it is, like, he proposed to her before.
Mm-hmm.
And she said no at that time.
She said no.
To be with him, but she wants to be with him completely on her terms. And I feel like he's in with her. He said it before, I'm going to marry that girl.
Yeah.
He's kind of just waiting around for her to be ready.
What is that like?
To wait around for somebody? I don't know. I never slowed down long enough. Constantly, whenever I was dating, I was like, if you're not ready, I'm gone.
Really?
Yes. I didn't care. I didn't mind putting pressure on people, because if somebody bulked under the pressure, then they weren't for me anyway.
Good for you, Jules.
I know, right?
Punch it in. You're awesome.
And then who got engaged after 2 months of dating? This girl. I wouldn't wait around for anybody like that.
Wow. Did you roofie him? What happened? Like, what did you do? Like, I said, what kind of powers do you have, Julie, that I don't know about?
Oh, he was just as ready as it is.
Well, he's adorable. So I'm glad you and Kyle are awesome.
So at the very end, he says that Meredith could move in, and I don't know. I don't see why he would do this without consulting her, especially now that Amelia's in the picture too. But Joe takes him aside and they walk into this very, very fitting dumpster diver apartment, right?
Right.
Covered in trash. Don't you think the real estate agent could have cleaned it a little bit? And she's like, well, I took all my savings and all the money that I have, and it's almost enough, and I bought it for us.
like, and I okay, after buzzers, real talk. I thought she was going to say, this is where I used to live, and I used to sleep here when I had no place to go.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not joking. I could have sworn I was going to come out of her mouth, and if that was the case, I would have been, like, applauding. I would have been like, yes, Joe, way to take him on the journey of when you were a dumpster diver.
And now I bought it for us.
Boom. Talk about evolution full circle.
That's funny.
Yo, I'm going to Twitter real quick. Lizzie at A Drop of Magic says... Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get to Rocks at Rocks Ration says JJC forever random, but I'm totally team Maggie and Alex getting together. I've never been a fan of Jill and Alex, unfortunately. I don't see
There's
that happening.
There's just too many people that need to go with Alex. No, yeah. And hopefully, Mick Handsome intern
DeLuca
starts to make the ranks.
DeLuca. Also, Robin Applebaum says JJC forever. Interesting parallels between Maggie's cheating mom. Long-suffering dad and marriage cheating mom, long-suffering dad.
Ooh, that is a good point. Yeah, Maggie mentioned that her dad knew for 11 years and stuck it out for her.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Jason. Whenever, back to Joe, when she presented the house for a second there, I didn't know what Alex was going to say.
Really?
You for sure thought he was in?
No, I didn't know.
For 1 second, I thought he was going to be like, no, I have to take care of Meredith and the 3 kids or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, he went for it. He kissed her. He loved it. He loved the trash loft.
Oh my god, he loved the dungeon, and it was good.
They're gonna fix it up together
tonight. One of tonight's most outstanding moments for me, but getting back to Catherine and the chief, was when Meredith handed them their ass and was like, look, woman, I don't know, I've had, you know, Chief, Adele died, Ellis died.
My husband died. I'm playing that card.
And then she looks straight over at Catherine and says, I don't know who's died with you, but that doesn't make a difference.
I know. That was hilarious.
So good. So good. Because Meredith, again, such a powerful, like, she's just evolved into, like, out of the ashes, this phoenix has risen. And I can't articulate or elucidate the words to describe
she how. She is the sun.
Yeah. It's been fantastic. And Catherine Avery needs that. The reason why I'm not feeling her character is because she always just saunters in. I own the hospital. I'm fierce. I have my natural hair today. I'm a urologist. I fix men's penises. I'm me and Oprah are the same person. You know, it's like, I hate you.
Yeah, I could see it. But I still love that about her because the chief put her in her place and they're perfect. And she has this son who she just, like, spoils and thinks is God. It's adorable.
Yeah, moms do that. Moms do that. So
another huge storyline, and we sort of already talked about it a little bit. But after Kepner does all of this stuff and saves the lives of Keith, the guy in the car, she talks to Jackson and she's like, I want to say something, but I don't know how to say it. And Jackson knew right then, you want to go back.
And here is the kicker. We're thinking he's going to be supportive. He's going to be like, you know, I love you.
Well, whatever. He acted like he's like, there was a light that left you whenever Samuel, their son, died. And it came back ever since you were at war.
But he also says, if you go, I'm not going to wait around for you.
I couldn't believe it.
And then it's like this total, like, backhanded slap about, you know, you didn't bother to check on me. And I know what that's like, because that's happened to me before within a relationship where I moved away and I tried to keep the relationship. My very first gay relationship was, I was head over heels in love with this guy. And I moved to LA to pursue whatever I was pursuing at the time. And I tried my hardest to keep the relationship together. And this person never called. It was just like, you feel abandoned. And it's very hard. You know, it sucks when you call someone and they don't pick up the phone, or you email, there's no response. Mm-hmm. You know, that, and the only form of communication you have is electronic and digital, which means, you know, email, text, and whatnot. So you're going through your life here. You're expecting this person who you love and you think loves you back to try to be there with you the best way they can, because that's what you're doing for them, and it's not reciprocated. You feel a little abandoned, you feel a little hurt, and it does take a toll on you. It does steal something from you, because you feel like, wow, I was invested in this. My own emotional well-being is also on this ship with you, but yet you're leaving me out to drown. So I supported Jackson too.
Absolutely. I can't believe that she thought he would be fine with her just up and leaving again. He's like, you weren't here for me. I needed support too.
Right.
And she, she's like, so that's it? If I leave, this is over?
That's
kind of it. That's kind of what he's saying. And so we leave the scene with her crying with Arizona, and we don't know what that means. We don't know if that means that she has to go back and it's the end of her marriage and that's why she's so upset, or she's going to stay for her husband and she just can't be here because she wants to be there. She wants to be at war. She's going to sacrifice that for her husband. Either way, she's sacrificing something huge.
And I think, I mean, I feel like if she was to stay for her husband, she'd be a little resentful.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be like Owen staying with Christina, even though she didn't want kids.
Right.
And so I don't know what's in for them. I don't like this. I want happiness for them. I like April in this role. I like her whenever she's just so tough. But I don't see why she can't embrace that in the trauma center.
Right. Yeah.
Especially, you know what? He lost a son too, April.
Yeah.
You're not the only one that needs to run off.
Sure.
But
sure.
So there was a little moment between Owen and Amelia. Apparently that's still going on. That's a weird relationship. Tonight we're on board with it, though.
Owen, listen, and I'm sure you guys on YouTube at home, after Buzz, you agree, Owen is just awkward, period. Everything that's happened to him on the show has been awkward.
Yeah.
He choked out Christina. Awkward. It's just like... He can't catch a break.
Right.
Homeboy can't catch a break. And he's
except,
so
no,
sexy.
He could catch a break because he had that one girlfriend who was in the Mighty Ducks, and she was perfect for him.
But why didn't she stay?
No, he broke up with her.
Ah.
Yeah.
Because he wanted Christina to stay.
Something like that. So I like them together. I'd be down for that. They need to cut off this ridiculousness. Amelia's like, yeah, I'm not in for anybody dating at work. Yeah, right. They're both longing for each other. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And Callie and Arizona didn't get much screen time this episode. They
good, because they had a whole season.
Seriously.
They had a whole season.
But right there at the end, so Meredith was hanging on to this her old phone. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is I still have a voicemail from my grandmother who passed away this year. That she left me the year before. Like, I get it. I get the significance of hearing that person's voice again.
Yeah.
And so Derek had left her voicemail from the ferry. And Amelia still had all these issues, as she should, because Meredith pulled the plug without telling her.
Yeah.
But Meredith gave her the old cell phone and let her listen to it. She couldn't pull the plug. She couldn't listen to the phone until she was alone in the room. And she finally played it. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was Derek leaving a voicemail from the ferry, and he didn't mention Amelia at all, but just something about him being so positive and talking about how much he loved his wife, it really seemed like it brought Amelia closure.
Yeah. Closure, you know, closure. That word, there's so much weight and clout that hangs with that word. People search their whole lives for closure to things, and I think that closure is sometimes a gift that either you are fortunate enough to receive, or you are not fortunate enough to receive, but you just have to accept that it wasn't for you to have closure for some things.
But then you have to find it yourself.
Really?
Yeah, you have to find closure in some way. It's if you don't get it as a gift, automatically you make it happen.
Yeah.
But
you go shopping.
At the end of this episode, there was this like strangely beautiful, charmed moment where Maggie's sitting out crying. And Meredith goes, Maggie finally reveals, and Meredith's like, you need to come to me because I've been through it, and I'm the one who will tell you how you're going to survive.
Absolutely.
It was beautiful.
It was so good.
And I never liked them as sisters just because I can't buy the entire situation, but it's growing on me, and it's very sweet.
And you see Amelia walk in. I thought that was the perfect way. There's so many parallels with this season with Edwards being the new Christina and Joe and Meredith being the new Meredith, Joe and Edwards being the new Meredith and Christina. And then you have like Amelia who comes to sit down with them, and you sit down after Maggie and Meredith have their conversation, and you see this sisterhood, like,
charmed.
It makes sense. Like these are now, they have each other, and that's, it brought me back to Izzy and Christina and Meredith, how they all had each other. And now it's just, again, season 12, maybe the final season. But
I've heard it's not.
Me too. But who knows? Look, Revenge was just canceled, and we thought it was going to go on for forever. But
this is Grey's Anatomy, though. It has a million lives.
You know, but you see this just like this evolution. And Meredith, again, after Buzzers, Meredith being, you know, in the final montage, them dancing it out. And
that's what she said. It's time to dance it out.
And they're like, what?
And we're like, oh, Yes, of course it's time to dance it out. It's time for all of us to dance it out. That's what we all needed after this right. season.
I love Meredith's white girl snap, though. She's like offbeat, like one hand in the hair, one hand in the air. Meredith dancing lessons. Yeah. I'm sure Grace can fly me in. I'll choreograph some stuff for you. But it was great, and that's the Grace magic, Julie. After buzzers, people listening at the podcast. That's the Grey's magic I'm talking about. Well, let me go back to saying I love the music because they were covers of very popular songs that were popular in Grey's in earlier seasons. But that's what we need. This finale, people on Twitter were like, no cliffhanger?
Well, I liked that about it. I feel like, but people were saying this could have been a series finale, and I agree with that too.
Yeah. And, but whatever. Grey's
never, it never ceases to amaze me.
Right. And that's when you know a show is historical, legendary and iconic. When you're like, wow, every chance they get, that Meredith says it. Ooh, I'm gonna quote her. She says something about sometimes people may disappoint you, but if you let them, they may just take your breath away. And I feel like Grey's is that. Sometimes we're like, oh, but then the good times, it's like, did I just watch what I just watched?
Yeah, it's not going away, and it's to our pleasure. So I can't believe season 11 is over. Next season, we will see, does Bailey get the chief spot or not? She will be going up against somebody, and she said with Ben's help, they're going to be destroyed.
Good for, and Bailey deserves it. Bailey, I feel like Bailey needs, after Callie beat her out, after she didn't get it, after Owen beat her out, I feel like Bailey finally needs to be the chief.
And I would be stoked about it. Me I think too. She'd be perfect. Me too.
She's great. And I'm loving her and Ben. I'm glad that Bailey's found her happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm even more happy that we have kind of a, you know, a hope for the season 12 that everything's going to be fantastic.
It's good to leave it on a happy note because there's been so many terrible emotions with this season, and now it just feels like I'd like to dance it out, and I'd like for them to be back next week, and I know they won't. So 3 months, I'll take a breath, and my Grays will be back in my life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
As will you.
As will Star.
As will everybody in the Grays family at hashtag GraysABTV.
And I just want to say thank you, everyone, so much for coming on this journey with us all this year. We appreciate each and every single one of you, all of your tweets, everything on Instagram, everything on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. You guys are the reason why we do this show. We share in the love with you. Thank you. Thank you so much for watching with us. It means the world to us here at AfterBuzz TV and to me personally. And I love you, Julie. I think you're fantastic.
Oh, I love you too, Jason. And I think the only appropriate thing right now
to dance it out?
Dance it out!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.